Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Thursday edition of our program. I'm delighted that you're with me, and delighted particularly because of the topics we are dealing with. You know, Derek Prince has been teaching us in this series called The Way Up is Down. It sounds simplistic, but I'll tell you what, there are some great and transforming truths in this series. The underlying principle or philosophy of what he's saying is that we were born again into an invisible kingdom, into a spirit realm, and there are laws to that spirit realm. And they're often opposite of the laws that are in this earthly world or in the natural world. Derek's taken a great deal of time in the last couple of sessions to talk to us about the nature of Satan, his fall from heaven, the nature of the demonic kingdom or the kingdom of darkness, and how it's opposite of the way the kingdom of God functions. There are some wonderful principles in here, particularly about humility. Derek has really focused on the fact that pride is behind the kingdom of darkness, because the kingdom of darkness itself was founded by Lucifer, who because of pride was cast out of heaven, and that humility is the key to the kingdom of God. In fact, Derek even taught us that God had to stoop to even make man. In other words, even man, even the whole idea of the earth and man on it, was founded in an act of humility, not to mention the great humility of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want you to listen very carefully today, and I want you to take notes, because there are some absolutely transforming truths and some laws that you need to put into motion in your life and in your conduct that will absolutely transform you and bring a great harvest of righteousness. Let's listen now as Derek teaches us about how the way up is down.
Maybe we could look in Job chapter 1 for a moment. You know, if I'd been writing a Bible, I'd have never written one like this. There's a lot of things in this Bible that would never have occurred to me. I could never have believed that Satan would ever have access to the presence of God again, but the Bible very clearly indicates that he does. Verse 6, one day the angels came to present themselves before the Lord. The King James says the sons of God, but there's no doubt it means the angels. And Satan also came with them. Isn't that remarkable? Furthermore, to me, the implication of the text is that the only person who picked Satan out was the Lord. Because Paul says he's transformed as an angel of light. The fellow angels apparently didn't know who was amongst them. The Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it." You remember that's how he started, wandering to and fro. And so on. We don't need to go into the rest of it. You say, well, how could God continue to tolerate Satan? I'm sure there are many reasons I don't know. When I was in Africa teaching African young people, that was the number one question that they always asked. And I, of course, tried to give them some answers, but it was a real thorny problem for them. Why did God create the devil? Well, I said he didn't create the devil. He created Lucifer, and Lucifer turned himself into Satan. Well, why doesn't God deal with the devil? I'll offer you one reason: God's mercy toward the human race. You see, Satan in his cunning had got man, the human race, involved in the same guilt that he was in. And so I could picture Satan saying something like this. This is just my version of the possible way it happened. All right, God, I'm a rebel. I know it, you know it. There's no arguing about that. And that lake of burning fire over there, that's where I'm headed. I know it, you know it. You can send me there anytime. But listen, God, you're a just God. You cannot compromise your justice. You see these human beings? They're rebels like me. The day you send me there, you've got to send them there. So that was the problem that Satan posed God. He didn't know God had an answer. God had an answer before Satan posed the problem. All right, now, to redeem that fallen race, God stooped still lower. And I want you to see the principle that I'm unfolding is every time the lower you go, the higher you get. But every time you go higher, you end up lower. In the person of Jesus Christ, God identified himself with the fallen race and expiated its guilt. And once its guilt was expiated, he did not need to compromise his justice to consign Satan to the place he belonged and offer man a way out. The scripture says in Romans that he might be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus. That was the problem. How could he forgive without compromising his justice? How could he spare man and still consign Satan to his well-deserved end? The answer is through Jesus. Look quickly at just a few scriptures. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is speaking about Jesus and the incarnation. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. The point I want to bring out is that Jesus not merely created Adam, but in redemption he identified himself in his own person with that fallen race. And doing so, he became the expiation for our sins. 1 Peter 2, 24. A beautiful verse. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. And the same epistle, chapter 3, verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. That, in essence, is the meaning of the cross. The sinless Son of God became identified with the fallen sinful race. As our representative, he took our guilt upon him, paid our full penalty, was raised again from the dead, and made it possible for God, without compromising his justice, to forgive us and to judge Satan. Now, the plan of redemption goes one amazing step further. Not merely did Jesus identify himself with us, but through our faith, we become identified with him. And the lowest are raised to the highest. Bear in mind, that's the principle I'm illustrating all the way. If you want to go up, go down. And the amazing thing is, not merely that God took a creature formed of dust, but God took that creature, depraved, corrupted, and fallen, and offered him the highest place in the universe. Look in Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment, verses 4 through 6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Now you see there, that's our identification with Jesus. Everything that Jesus went through, we are invited to join him in. First of all, we have to identify ourselves with him in his death. We reckon ourselves dead. We're identified with him in burial by what? By baptism. And having been identified with him in death and burial, we are identified with him in three further phases. We're made alive with him. We're resurrected with him. And never stop there. We're enthroned with him. So God absolutely, specifically, and literally took the lowest and in Christ raised it to the highest to seat us with him on the throne of the universe.
You know, we really need to hold on to this revelation that Derek is giving us, and that is that the devil has tactics against us. In fact, twice in the Bible, we're given very specific words that, first of all, the devil has a strategy against us, and that he also has a method against us. He's trying to bring us to into a condition where we live in our lesser selves, and we do not live according to the laws of the Spirit that God is trying to move us towards. There's so much more to come as Derek Prince, Legacy Radio, continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, "What's in it for me?" this DVD's message explores the power behind the question, "How may I serve God?" It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Thankful that you're here. Derek Prince is teaching us about how the way up is down. And today he's teaching us specifically about Satan's tactics. Now, if humility is the path of exaltation and pride is the way to a fall or to destruction, then doesn't it make sense that the devil would constantly be trying to tempt us into pride and arrogance and actions based on those two? I think that's the truth. Let's watch for that. Let's scan for that. Let's defeat that tactic. And let's listen to Derek tell us how.
Everything that Jesus went through, we're invited to join him in. First of all, we have to identify ourselves with him in his death. We reckon ourselves dead. We're identified with him in burial by what? By baptism. And having been identified with him in death and burial, we are identified with him in three further phases. We're made alive with him, we're resurrected with him, and never stop there. We're enthroned with him. So God absolutely, specifically, and literally took the lowest and in Christ raised it to the highest to seat us with him on the throne of the universe. And furthermore, just one step further, not merely did God do that, or is he doing it, because it's not really yet complete, but God is going to make these fallen creatures redeemed the demonstration of this principle to the universe for all eternity. See, my purpose in saying this is to show you that this law is so important that God has made a way that the whole universe will forever be reminded of it. In other words, God says, remember, don't you ever exalt yourself. You know what happened. But if you humble yourself, I'll exalt you. I'll tell you frankly, brothers and sisters, if we would bear this in mind, we'd save ourselves a lot of unnecessary problems. You know that? I believe the root cause behind all problems is pride. And God does a lot in our lives to deliver us from pride, but sometimes we don't recognize the hand of the Almighty. Because God puts us in a situation where the only way out is to humble ourselves. And sometimes we take a long time to realize that. All right, let's look at the principle that God will use these fallen but redeemed creatures to demonstrate this law to the universe forever. We go to three passages in Ephesians. In some ways, Ephesians is a unique epistle. I think in a way it reveals the eternal purposes of God, both past and future, with a clarity and a completeness that no other passage in the Bible does. It's interesting about this epistle. Most of Paul's epistles were written by him in conjunction with others. But this epistle is written by Paul alone. And in a certain sense, it contains the unique revelation which God granted to Paul. Notice the opening verse, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. In other words, he has sole responsibility for this letter. Well, I'll read the opening half of that chapter. I really appreciate this translation because it takes the liberty of breaking up Paul's very lengthy sentences and making several sentences out of one long sentence, which makes it that much easier for the average English reader to apprehend. Beginning verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Another emphasis of Ephesians is the fatherhood of God in relationship to Jesus. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Bear in mind this epistle was written in a prison too. That's another example of the same truth. When you go to the lowest, God reveals to you the highest. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Another emphasis is God does everything the way he wants. To the praise of his glorious grace. That's another emphasis that it's all for the praise of the grace of God, which he has freely given us in the one he loves, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. God's grace is free, it's bounteous, but it's always with wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment. What is his good pleasure? To bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. Now, here's where we come in. Think of that glorious plan that's unfolded from eternity to eternity. And then it says, in him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. That's a good truth if you can lay hold of that. God does things the way he intends to do them. You know, I've discovered in my life, I get very excited and concerned about some things and they don't work out. But the things that God considered important get worked out. And really, we need to worry less because he'll get them worked one way or the other. I'm going to read that again. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will. Now, why were we chosen? Verse 12. In order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. All right? So we're number one exhibit of this principle, that if you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. But if you humble yourself, you'll be exalted. And then, in chapter 2, verse 7, which follows on from the verses that I've already quoted, I go back to verse 6. God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus in order that, now notice that's the purpose, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. We're the number one demonstration piece of God's grace. And then one other scripture, Ephesians 3:10. His intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Isn't that remarkable? We're to be the supreme demonstration of God's wisdom to the whole universe for all eternity. God took us from the scrap heap and made us his masterpiece. Praise God. Amen.
We've just heard Derek tell us that the root of all problems is pride. Now, if that's true, what would happen if we would set out on a specific and aggressive program to humble ourselves in every way in our lives and to begin to develop a long-term legacy of humility? Imagine what that would do if we had months and months and years of specifically and aggressively humbling ourselves. God would exalt us and we would take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of us. There's more to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Get ready to embark on a journey that can truly revolutionize your approach to life as Derek Prince navigates some long-held misconceptions about servanthood. In his classic video teaching, Being a Servant, Derek reveals that a servant's heart is not only the key to greatness, it is the key to experiencing true joy, real influence, and deep blessing. Even as the world asks, "What's in it for me?" This DVD's message explores the power behind the question, "How may I serve God?" It's a call to a revival of servanthood among the people of God and what it can mean to a hungry and hurting world. Discover real joy through the God-fueled power of servanthood. Order your copy of Derek's insightful DVD, Being a Servant, by calling us toll-free, 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. This classic video teaching is just $9.95. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or order your copy of Being a Servant when you visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield, and boy, are we feasting today on the Word of God. And it's not particularly easy stuff to digest. It's the meat of God's Word, and I'm so thankful for it. I want to help us apply this great truth that Derek is teaching us, that pride is so often at the root of our problems. I was told once by somebody who really helped me, a little two-sentence statement that really has convicted me at times. It's this: embarrassment, a constant pattern of embarrassment, is rooted in pride, and frustration is rooted in rebellion. When we're constantly embarrassed, when we're constantly ashamed in front of people and preoccupied with what people think and constantly feeling as though we're naked before the crowd, that really has its root in pride. It's a great little device for analyzing us. Where do you feel constantly embarrassed? Now, of course, we all have those little moments of social faux pas and what have you, and I'm not talking about those occasional moments of embarrassment, but if you constantly live and an attitude of embarrassment or the fear of embarrassment, this really is rooted in pride. And if you are constantly living in frustration, constantly living as like a horse straining against the bit, straining against the saddle and the bridle and the control of the rider, then I want to suggest that there's a problem of rebellion, that there may be a rejection of God's placement and positioning of you. There may be a rebellion against the disciplines that God is attempting to put into your life. My point is not to condemn. My point is to say that we must learn to walk in a humble flow in our lives. There really is a path of peace and gentleness. There really is a way that we can walk, a way chosen for us, that is not filled with strain, that is not filled with constant bombardment, that is not filled with the inner turmoil that many of us feel. I want to suggest that really the key to walking in a greater peace and a greater level of blessing and prosperity is that we go on a search and destroy mission in our lives for pride and for rebellion, the rebellion that really comes from pride. Pride is where we exalt ourselves. We see ourselves as great in our own eyes. We see ourselves as entitled for something, that we believe that we are due a certain treatment that we're being denied. That's pride. That's what caused Satan to fall from heaven. And that rebellion is a belief that there's some better way and that we know what it is and that we're not really happy with the way God is ruling in our lives. I want to urge you to make a list of the areas of your life that you see that fulfill these conditions. I want to suggest that you specifically and earnestly begin to repent. And I want to suggest that you go on an absolute energetic effort in your life to humble yourself and watch how God will exalt you. Listen, if you want to steepen these teachings, you can log on to derekprince.org. But that's all the time we have for today. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again tomorrow as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to request your copy of Derek's DVD, Being a Servant, available for just $9.95. Call 1-800-448-3261. That's 1-800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Discover the key to joy, influence, and blessing. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can order your DVD copy of Being a Servant securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.